Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Clint's mama told me he used to strut around when he was a high school star wearing a banana hammock.
Are you shitting me?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
I do like to have a good time. I like to party, especially on them Thursdays and Fridays now. Let's be honest, I ain't never had a day that I didn't like to party. If I'm available and there's good times to be had, I'm knee deep in that sucker. But I tell you what I've never done. I don't wear banana hammocks.
That's not what your mom told the Hall of Famer.
I'm just telling you, I don't care what Linda said. I don't care what any woman or man has ever said about Clint Sterner and banana hammocks. I'm telling you right now,
I ain't
never put one of them joints on.
So McClain, you're calling John McClain a liar.
Yeah, I think John McClain's full of bull right there on that.
Well, sorry.
If I'm being completely honest with you, I do. I like to party. I like to get down. I've done some crazy stuff that I'm not real proud of in my time.
I think I like
wearing a banana hammock. Ain't one of them. I'm telling you.
Now
there may have been a few individuals in my life that could have, had they chose to convince me to put one on. There may have been a handful of that I would have maybe considered it, but it never happened, and I never did it.
I'm wearing one right now.
The only thing that I'm leaving the possibility out for is that since you do like to have such a good time, that maybe once or twice it's happened where you had such a good time that you just don't recall this particular moment, or maybe somebody remembers it better than you. Maybe you, the quarterback A-type personality that likes to be in control, lost control for a moment or two, and found yourself in the banana hammock.
That's some critical thinking right there. That's a good point.
I'm just here to tell you, man, it's untied and undefeated. And there have been a few that could have maybe gotten me off in one, but they did not choose to make that suggestion. I did not do it.
Booger butt.
I did not do it. You know what I mean? I did not. It did not happen.
So, I believe you, Clint. I don't know
what the hell John's talking about. But the Phoenix Suns, they hired a coach about a day ago, boys. They hired a Cleveland Cavaliers assistant, Jordan Ott. He's the new head coach out there. I don't know if this Kevin Durant trade talks intensifying was going to happen from a scheduling perspective, no matter what. And I don't know if Jordan Ott had anything to do, the hiring of Jordan Ott had anything to do with it. But the thought is right now that over the next couple of weeks, that the Kevin Durant trade talks are expected to intensify. Now, look, I don't know that the Rockets are still interested. I would hope they are. I don't know if they're still interested or not. But I've got a would you rather. But before we get there, Shams Charania, the top analyst reporter,
yeah, I would say breaking news NBA
breaker,
insider, yeah.
NBA insider, that's a good one right there. This is what he has to say about Kevin Durant and a potential trade here over the next few weeks.
Like, conversations will now begin to pick up on a potential trade of Kevin Durant out of Phoenix. Over the next 2 to 3 weeks, conversations will begin to heat up. I'm told the Suns will work with Durant and his business partner, Rich Kleiman, on a trade home. There's expected to be a robust market for him. 4 to 6 teams seriously interested in Durant, potentially ahead of the NBA draft. But between now and that NBA draft later this month in June, there's going to be serious conversations about moving Kevin Durant, and still one of the great players in the NBA right now, an all-NBA caliber player, still at the prime stages, really, of his play in terms of as a scorer. So we'll see where Kevin Durant ends up this offseason.
Before we get into that, you think Kevin Durant's still at a prime stage in his scoring abilities?
Yeah, scoring, I wouldn't say prime, but I would say that he's still of the upper echelon in the league, which, I mean, basically like a 70% version of Kevin Durant is still pretty damn good and better than most. So, no, I would disagree that he's still a prime level scorer, but he's just so pure. He's got a game that, as long as he's like in shape and can get up and down the floor, he'll be able to shoot that jump shot, you know, for the rest of his life.
7-footer that can shoot over anybody from anywhere on the floor. Yeah, that guy's probably going to be able to score buckets a little bit longer in his career than others. But we'll see. I'm all in on Kevin Durant. I'm a believer. I don't lean into Father Time as much as a lot of folks do. I know it'll bite me in the ass from time to time, but I am in 100% on Kevin Durant, and I'm in on that. That would change the game for our Houston Rockets. I firmly believe it. I know some people don't like it because he's older and it would be, I even like committing to a guy that, hey man, if it don't work in a year or two, his ass is up out of here and you make some adjustments, versus committing to somebody super long term and now you got that guy no matter what happens. I'm not opposed to any of it, but I can really get down with Kevin Durant on a short term deal. There's expected to be three to four teams interested.
Right.
And I don't know that the Rockets, I didn't see the Rockets were mentioned. If they were, they weren't. I haven't done a lot of digging.
Oh, the Rockets absolutely got to be in the mix. So some of the reporting from Kelly Eco, I think it was earlier in the week from The Athletic, was saying that they have at least engaged more so on the Sun side. Because think about it. And some of the morning guys, I think it was Sean that was talking about this morning. Right. But, I mean, just the situation itself dictates that the Rockets would be a prime candidate for this, because they could use either Kevin Durant or somebody like that that can shoot, obviously, and then they have the actual Suns picks. So, and that was part of the logic in getting those picks to begin with, is saying, hey, we're gonna bet on the Suns' downfall. We don't think that what they got going on over there is going to work, and then sure enough, it didn't. And now we've got their future in front of them to be able to dangle in front of them for whichever one of their good players it is that we want, whether that's Devin Booker or Kevin Durant or whatever the case may be. And so now here we are basically facing that moment. But let me speak out against this whole idea about him being too old and not wanting to trade for the old superstar, because I think it's just ill. It's not thought of correctly, you know, and not that I'm trying to tell you how to think. I just kind of think y'all are wrong here. And let me explain why. It's not like you're trading for Kevin Durant to be who the Brooklyn Nets were bringing in when they brought him in. Certainly not the Kevin Durant who the Golden State Warriors were bringing in all those years ago. And not even the Kevin Durant that the Phoenix Suns traded for. They were trading for the guy to be the face of the franchise, the number one option, the guy that gets the ball every single time, and basically the heart of the team. Whereas for the first time in Kevin Durant's career, for the first time in Kevin Durant's basketball life, probably, he would come here and be a complimentary player. He would be the most talented. He would be the most accomplished. He would be the most famous. But what the Rockets have going on and what they would have to give up wouldn't be so much of the nucleus to where it would change the overall identity of the team, which so many of us Rockets fans already like and feel good about. It could be Jalen Green. It could be Dylan Brooks. It could be something to match salaries, but it's not going to be like some kind of disruption to your overall core that the Rockets have built here. You're still going to have probably you're still going to have 6 of the 7 guys more than likely that you drafted over the last 4 years, plus more than likely most of these Suns picks. I'm saying it's not going to cost you a whole hell of a lot to bring Kevin Durant here, nor are you going to require Kevin Durant to be the Kevin Durant that you've understood him to be over the last 20 years or whatever it's been in his career. So you got to kind of reimagine the role and the spot that Kevin Durant is going to be in as just basically substituting Jalen Green for Kevin Durant. I got a hard time believing that you wouldn't do that and that you can't see the difference that that would make in this Rockets offense. So I'm 100% for it.
All right, here is my would you rather with the Kevin Durant trade talks intensifying and understanding that there's three or four, maybe five teams interested. Look, you got to think the Knicks and the Minnesota Timberwolves are interested, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got Knicks for sure.
Yeah, the Knicks, I would think. I would think that the San Antonio Spurs would be pretty high up there.
I've seen the Spurs, the Knicks, the Rockets, and I did see a mention of Minnesota. I don't know if that was the fourth you were thinking of.
Yeah, and I think Minnesota, part of that's got to do with the Anthony Edwards connection. He idolizes Kevin Durant, of course. They've got their own questions now about getting over the hump after a really impressive run two playoffs ago, and then, of course, this season losing in the semifinals. So, yeah, man, look, but I still look at the Rockets as in the perfect position to make the move, and he fits so perfectly into the thing that they are lacking, okay? And I know people got their questions about him being healthy and all these other sorts of things. I'm not here to play scared. Kevin Durant has been healthy over the last year, or has played quite a bit over the last year. I don't have those same issues. I think he fits perfectly into what they need. If it was a matter of, hey, you got to give up a bunch to commit to a 37-year-old dude, then of course I would change the conversation and move on to the next thing. But I don't think it's that. I think it's just a matter of adding what amounts to a complimentary piece, albeit a legend at that. So I'm here for it, man. I would love to see them do this.
All right, those trade talks expected to intensify over the next 2 to 3 weeks. Here's my would you rather. And look, I know there's context that matters here. Take it out of the mix, right? Like, because here, I mean, you can go. I'm talking to the people out there. B Scott, you go on wherever direction you want to go. But I understand that. As you just mentioned, like a deal for Durant is going to entail a far fewer pieces or a far less value than a deal for Giannis.
Yep.
Right? So I get that. But here's the deal. Ron and I have had this conversation before, hell, on air a couple of weeks ago. But here's the question. Would you rather the Rockets have a Jalen Green trade for Kevin Durant? Get a Jalen Green involved deal for Kevin Durant, or would you rather the Rockets have a Alperen Şengün
going up?
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Deal for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Which deal would you rather? Got to pick one. Can't straddle the fence. Got to pick one. Which one would you rather? B. Scott, you first.
I take Giannis. And you heard me just make the case for Kevin Durant. And that's why I love the position that the Rockets are in, because I don't feel like there are too many bad options for them. And that's not a cop-out. That is just literally loving the position that they are in. But to your question, since you had, we're not straddling the fence. We're giving a direct answer to a direct question, right? Give me Giannis. Just flat out. Give me. If I'm in a position to trade for a guy that not only has won back-to-back MVPs, but at times has played even better since then than his back-to-back MVP seasons. Think about this, Clint. He's had no less than four seasons after winning back-to-back MVPs where he's averaged like 30 points. One of them was 29.9.
Yeah.
So, like, he's averaged effectively 30 points for four or five seasons or so after winning back-to-back MVPs. I think people, because Giannis did have an injury, because the Milwaukee Bucks have deteriorated over time, and it's really hard to keep teams together these days. But because of this, I think people feel like maybe Giannis is some kind of diminished version of himself. And I'm just here to tell you, as somebody that watches the NBA on a nightly basis, that he is not. I am here as somebody that watched Giannis play against the Rockets at Toyota Center and talked to him in the locker room. Somebody that watched Kevin Durant play against the Rockets at Toyota Center this past season and talked to him in the locker room. Neither of these guys has lost their fastball or is not any good anymore. They are excellent, excellent, excellent basketball players, and Giannis is still, I would say, a top four or five player in all of basketball. And what you have now is a far cry from that. So it's easily Giannis for me.
Yeah, and this was not planned. I would go the opposite. And tell me if I'm crazy, but I think, one, you got to give up less, and the piece you give up is Jalen Green, who I'm out on.
Okay.
But I think when you look at the Rockets overall, what you need is a shooter.
You need shooting, right?
But in this move, a shooter, right? So I think you get that. You answer a lot of questions with Kevin Durant, assuming that you get the good Kevin Durant at an older age. And you give up far less. And I got to believe that you'd be committed for an extremely short period of time. I would rather go that route than give up Şengün, who I will admit I'm a little partial to my man Şengün. Like the Giannis thing would be a longer commitment. I think you still have to go get shooting. I think you could potentially kind of change what it is you do offensively with Giannis. But I look at Şengün, man, and I think his game. And you can say this for a lot of guys, I'm assuming, but like I'm just sold that his game is going to age really, really well. Like he does not, Şengün does not depend on elite athletic ability, like elite NBA athletic ability to go get you points and produce at an extremely high level. I think it's going to age really well. I love the, whether it was because he bought in or because it's just what he's, the cloth he's cut from, the hustle, the toughness, the bigger the stage, brighter the lights, the more I'm going to give you. I just would hate for the Rockets to give up that guy.
Yeah, so the heart of this question or the answer to it depends on what do you have an appetite for. So I say the Kevin Durant move is the easiest and simplest move if you're in the camp of, hey, I don't want to do too much disruption of what we've got going on.
That's where I'm at.
And the spirit of it. And so if that's the space that you're in, then I can get on that train with you and operate in that way. Now, where I'm at individually is, hey, look, if you can go, Raphael Stone himself said, hey, look, the the bar for change is high, right? Like there's a high bar for change. Well, if you're going to set that bar high, then that bar is like Giannis. You know what I mean? And so to me, what it comes down to is, and I agree with your point about Şengün's game is going to age well, and I think he's going to be a really good player for a really long time. But here's what I don't think. I don't think that Alperen Şengün will ever be as good as Giannis is right now. I don't think that he'll give you ever good of a chance to win a championship as the best player on your team as Giannis does today, going into next season, and for the length of whatever kind of contract that they could reasonably sign him to. And just under that context for me, it gives the nod to Giannis Antetokounmpo, because that just raises your ceiling and makes you more of a serious title contender. With Şengün, you can be a really good team for a really long time. With Giannis, I feel like all of a sudden you are now a title contender immediately and for the near future, for however long it is that he can maintain this, which I think is roughly 3 to 4 years, but you're giving yourself for sure a solid 3 to 4 years with one of the top five players in the game.
I like it. That's B. Scott. He's in for Ron the Show, Hughley, T. Mills behind the glass. And that's right. You listen to Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. The Drive is rocking and rolling. And I tell you what we got to do. I got to take a minute, fellas. I got to take a minute and give it up for the ladies out there. And I'm not talking about the lady listeners.
The Drive loves the ladies.
I'm not talking about the lady listeners. I'm not talking about the WNBA.
Oh. Sorry, Mel.
I'm talking about them them ladies on that diamond. There's two Texas teams right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I got a confession. I'll steal it from In the Loop. I got a confession to make. I am into this. I got a confession to make. We'll do it all next right here on Sports Radio 610.
God bless Texas.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T. Mills behind the glass, baby. We're rocking and rolling. I got to give it up one time, boys. I got to give it up one time for the ladies, Texas ladies.
Best kind.
Well, no doubt, no doubt. Let's call it a confession, or let's just call it. I'm gonna give you where I stand. I'm gonna tell you, elite. When I say elite, we're obviously talking about playoff, like elite level sport that is played on a diamond. I am entertained the most by women's softball.
Even more than
the
highest level of men's baseball, if you will.
Yes.
Because you said elite.
Yes.
Elite on the diamond.
Yes.
There is no way.
100%.
I don't buy it.
100%. 100%.
Now,
I think you're misinterpreting your feelings.
No, Quinn Sterner, listen. Baytown Badass, an Astros fan, by the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I just wanted to put that context out there.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, when you talk about, like, enjoyment level, when you talk about, like, you start comparing the sports, we're talking about women's softball, obviously college baseball, and we're talking about Major League Baseball. Like, those are the three sports that are played on a diamond that I'm referring to. And when you look at the women's sport and how fast-paced it is, the hitters don't waste time, the pitchers don't waste time. When you look at the stats, this girl's hitting 500 in 400 to 500 and above in the College World Series. Mm-hmm. Like, we ain't talking about guys. Boy, you hit 220, you hit 230 in the playoffs. You're doing no. I mean, there's a girl up there. The last three hits she's had has been home runs for Texas. I mean, it's just. And then you look at the pitching. Like, this girl is pitching for Texas Tech right now. By the way, where I'm going with this is the College World Series in women's softball right now is two Texas teams. It's the University of Texas Longhorns versus the Texas Tech Red Raiders. They're going head-to-head. And the headliner in the whole thing is the first $1 million player in softball in
college softball history.
In college softball history, is the girl that's pitching for the Red Raiders. She started, she had two seasons, I believe it was, at Stanford. She hit the market. Najeri Kennedy. She hit the market and she signed a $1.05 million NIL deal with the Matador Club, which I'm assuming is the NIL arm of Texas Tech, which has got all that oil field money up there. that they're spending. But I mean, she's the equivalent. I mean, her pitching is the equivalent of a pitcher getting on the mound and throwing over 100 every pitch.
Yeah.
Or when he throws a fastball. And she does that. And then you look at, it just seems every game that I watch, again, at this level, every game I watch at this level, there's walk-off bombs. There's no 1-2-3 games over because you got a little bit of a lead at the end. It is action freaking packed. This is a zero, as I say that, it was a 0-0 ball game last night. And these two teams going head for head. And Texas Tech, they get a girl on first base. And she, for some reason, thinks she's going to steal second. And Texas, I don't know how tall this catcher is for Texas, but she could eat peanuts off the forehead of everybody that walks up next to her. She stands up and throws an absolute piss rocket to second base. And literally, the shortstop is sitting there waiting on the girl. It's 4 or 5 steps.
Yeah.
And they tag her out. Well, guess what? In women's softball, you can't in any way, shape, or form, before you catch the ball, be in the base path. The ball led her up the from first, second base right there, up the line a bit. And her left foot, right before she catches it, lands in front of the bag. Now, the girl's 2-3 steps from her.
Yeah.
But she's blocking the bag. They tag her out. They review it. They put the girl back on second.
Damn.
B. Scott. Base hit. She scores. 1-0. You think now Texas Tech is up 1-0 with Kennedy on the mound. It's over.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a huge swing.
Bro, Texas goes up there first and third, down 1-0, first and third, and they're trying to walk they're trying to intentionally walk the batter.
Yeah, and screw it up.
And threw the ball close enough to where the girl could hit it. She hits the ball to left field somehow. Both runs end up scoring. They go up 2-1.
Yeah.
Right? And then Texas goes to the field. All they gotta do is get 3 outs and it's over. And I don't remember all the details, but Texas Tech made it interesting. Texas Tech that had an error in the field. Texas Tech damn near. Last time I was watching the damn Hogs play the Oklahoma team, Oklahoma walked it off in the bottom of the 7th.
Yeah.
I watched Oklahoma again a couple of nights ago before they lost out. They walked that thing off in the bottom. Same girl walked it off in the bottom of the 6th. She had 2 bombs in that game. Like, there is, when it comes to the pace of play, when it comes to the entertainment value that's packed into what feels like about an hour of action, because they only play 7 innings.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that is, I find myself being more plugged in to women's softball. Again, not all year, but at this level, I find myself being more dialed into that when it's on than any other baseball out there.
Well, first of all, I think it's great that one of these young ladies could make $1 million for what they
Come
do
on,
and be recognized in that kind of way. So shout out to the Matador Club, and shout out to Texas Tech for making that happen, and shout out to Kennedy for being the first to be able to accomplish that. I think that part is cool. I also will point out where, and y'all correct me if y'all think I'm wrong on this, but it seems like only in women's softball could you even have a possibility where you're trying to intentionally walk somebody and get it close enough to the plate to where somebody could hit it. Like, I've never heard of or seen that actually happen in baseball. So there's, because you're just going to throw
it. I've seen it happen in an Astros game.
Have you actually seen it happen?
John Huddick.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Does that name ring a bell?
Man, it seems like it's so much harder to do in baseball because you're just going to throw so far away from the batter's box. And the throwing motion is so much different, right? Whereas you can see how you could screw that up in softball given how they do it. So maybe the way I should say it is that.
Oh, I'm wrong. He was acting like he was going to intentionally walk the guy, and then he threw in a strike.
That's different. That, like, this seems to be a sport that's more susceptible to it getting away from you, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Yeah. So that just adds an intrigue element of just the intentional walk as a concept. And then I would just say this from my personal experience, Clint, that I can identify with this. Obviously, I've never covered a College World Series or the level of softball that they're playing. But back in my early days as a reporter, I was tasked with covering high-level high school girls softball, them girls out there in Montgomery and Huntsville and some of those places where they really took it seriously. And I never had as much fun covering anything as I did when the stakes were really high for the softball girls, whether it was, like I said, Huntsville, Montgomery, on a smaller level, the New Waverly girls, they were really into it. And that was some of the most fun that I've ever had. I can't even imagine how much fun it is for these girls. I get what you're saying. Now, I still feel like the baseball, and this could be the chauvinist in me if I'm just being honest about it, the baseball still feels a little bit more important. But that could just be bias. But the softball, I can't argue with the fun of it all. Just the sheer excitement. They seem to be having more fun than baseball players.
It seems to be more intense. Here's my deal. Look, to be clear, before the text line beats me up here, I'm not talking about enjoying what I'm watching Texas Tech and Texas do right now more than the Astros in a World Series. We're not talking about my Razorbacks playing in a championship game or the Astros in a World Series or the Texans in a Super Bowl. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I got no skin in the game.
I got you.
And I'm going to flip something on up there. For instance, I am going to enjoy watching Texas Tech and Texas tonight. Now, I said Diamond Sports, but I put it in perspective. I'm going to enjoy watching that just as much, if not more, than watching these NBA Finals tonight. Got no skin in the game in either one of them. Got no skin in the game. And to be honest with you, if this weren't a Styles Make Fights NBA Final, it would be a no-brainer. I would enjoy watching the fast-paced seven innings of women's softball for the championship. I would enjoy watching that more than one of seven NBA Finals. I'm just being completely honest.
And I would at least concede, now y'all know I'm kind of just a basketball head, but I would at least concede that the intensity level and the competition level, if you will, like if you're just kind of comparing the feel of it, the vibes of it, I do feel like it's got enough to match it. I will give you that. Now, I'm going to be locked into the finals, but I definitely can understand that just from covering some of the softball games that I've covered that aren't even nearly as high as stakes as these are. And then you got the Texas Tech element to it, the NIL element to it. Now the richest softball pitcher that you've ever seen.
Come on,
in this context, like all of it is just a delight.
Hey, two Texas schools, you got a lot. I mean, every time they put the city where the girls are from, every time they come to the plate, I mean, a ton of them from around this area. There's a Mont Bellevue Barbers Hill girl in there that was pitching for, she's at Oklahoma. She's not at Texas. I take that back. There's an Atascocita gal that's on the team. I mean, there's Cypress, I think. They're all over. I mean, softball in this area is ridiculous.
To the point, yeah, exactly. We take softball. It's kind of an underrated thing that is taken seriously here, the softball, the love for softball.
All right, y'all, Texans. Talking, baby, a new segment, baby. The thought is the segment is birthed from audio that comes directly out of NRG. And D'Amico is over there talking about the biggest need, the biggest talking point. Not C.J. Stroud. We talked about that till we're blue in the face. It's not C.J. Stroud, right? But you're going to stick around to see exactly what I'm talking about and what D'Amico says. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is ENT Meals behind the glass. And look, here's the deal, y'all. Texans talking is a new segment. It's a new segment that we got rocking and rolling. I'm gonna try to make this thing live a little bit until Ryan gets back. And we're actually looking for the piece of audio right now to see to make this thing make a little bit of sense here. The thought is the audio that is straight out of NRG Stadium, which is, by the way, the audio that we all get all the time. But sometimes, you know, you just hear a little something, get you good and football horny. Sometimes you hear something that is got to be a segment. It doesn't. It's not something to compliment a segment. No. It is. It is absolutely the audio that that the segment is ultimately all about. And here's the deal. There's no doubt about it that the biggest need with this team right now is the offensive line. There's no doubt about it that the offensive line is what the Texans have to get right in order to get beyond just winning 10 games and truly threaten an AFC title game or obviously a Super Bowl, right? So it's fair to say the biggest Texans need in 2025 is the O-line, right? There was a ton of change. Laramie Tunsil's out. Several kind of journeyman offensive linemen are in. The offensive line coach is out. And then Cole Popovich, his assistant, is elevated, who is a coaching machine, by the way. I can't hear what he's saying, but he's coaching his ass off over there. There's no doubt about that, right? And the thought, which, by the way, I said yesterday, like anybody out there that still thinks Laramie Tunsil was a money move, a salary cap move, I don't know how you're leaning into that. It was clear he just was not a fit for what D'Amico wanted his offensive line room just to look like and sound like.
Culture move, 100%.
Absolute culture move. And D'Amico Ryans spoke on exactly that. Now, we don't know anything about the offensive line from a physicality standpoint. And look, rubber meets the road. We'll see if these guys are worth the flip. But the value in the offseason is very clear, at least in D'Amico's eyes, as you hear him talk here about the offensive line.
That's a great question. Our offensive line, the mindset, I see it drastically changing. I see Coach Cole Popovich, his instant impact on those guys. You can see it from the way they work in their individual drills, the way they come off the line with low pass. It's just the small technique things that you see, how they're dialed in on their hand placement, just speaking the same language. One of the coolest things I've seen when we were working out in phase two, we work out, we activate our guys here in the bubble, and we all travel outside to do our different drills. And to see the O-line come out, and whoever was out first, they waited on the other guys. And they waited, they joined together as a group, and then they traveled down to the opposite end of the field to do their position work. So that just shows me that togetherness, that connection that I truly believe in. You want to be a great unit, you have to be connected. So Cole has kind of spurred that connection, that intensity, the mentality that I'm looking for. And we have that. We have the intangibles of what it takes. Now we just got to go out and get it done when we put pads on.
I love it. I love it. Look, B. Scott, I'm just here to tell you, man, there is, you know me, man. To me, there's value in every moment you get together. Either you work and you get better, you schedule some level of work and you get together, or you let other teams go to work and you just act like it's no big deal and we'll catch up later and it's a long off season while the Tom Brady's of the world are out there practicing. Even when COVID don't allow you to practice, they're finding a high school field that's surrounded by trees so nobody can take pictures, and they're out there working. Getting the work in is important, and while there's no doubt about it, the X factor or let's call it the most important thing with this offensive line is when rubber meets the road, does that dog bite?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. If you don't like physicality, if you don't like dominating the man across the ball, then you're probably not going to be very good, right? But you're not going to figure that out in the offseason. You're not going to figure that out in OTAs. But what you are going to figure, the value in OTAs, right, is you can figure out the mindset of your offensive lineman individually, and you can develop a mindset of your five of your unit. You can develop that mindset in how you attack the work, how hard you work, how mentally tough you are, how accountable you are, how well you communicate, what that connection is, how technically and mechanically sound are you. And ultimately, what I hear all of that saying is, and D'Amico Ryans saying is, do you care about each other? Do you truly care about each other? And I don't care what business you're in. If the radio business, right? When you look at our group of radio guys, and I'm talking about guys that are producing and on air, if we weren't a tight-knit group and didn't genuinely and sincerely like each other, it would show. To some degree, I'm not saying it would kill the station, but to some degree, it would show. And more importantly, when you're together and you're tight-knit, your product can be, your ceiling significantly higher. And with the offensive line for the Houston Texans, if the communicate if they're tight, the communication's easier, more seamless, right? If everybody's mindset is to be accountable, show up and kick ass and work hard, then the bar is set extremely high. If everybody is as good as and sound as they possibly can be technically and mechanically, the group together as a whole is going to be better, and that connection is going to be stronger. So, look, I know that none of this matters if this group isn't a physical group. None of this matters if the five guys they put out there, you know, ultimately aren't talented enough as a group to get it done. But boy, the offseason is valuable for this reason right here.
Man, so the big quote that stood out to me, and I mentioned this earlier when we were doing the Texans talking, I thought this stood out more than almost anything that we got at the OTA practice the other day.
This soundbite?
This particular soundbite. Save for the CJ Stroud news, which is obviously the A topic, like you said, we talked that into the ground. I thought Christian Kirk talking about the offense was pretty good. I enjoyed that. And, of course, I asked that question myself, so I was really fixated on that answer. But outside of those two things, this is what stood out to me the most from the entire availability across talking to three players and one coach, that being D'Amico Ryans. And that's because just even the beginning of that, you know, the beginning of that quote, for one thing, he, you know, whenever they tell you, hey, that's a great question, I don't read too much into that. You know, just because they say it's a great question doesn't necessarily mean that it is, but it does mean that it's a question that they definitely want to answer or a thing that they want to talk about. And that in and of itself, I think, is a pretty good thing. D'Amico Ryans takes that question, calls it a great one, and then proceeds to give you a lengthy answer. And on the front end of it, his exact quote is that the mindset, the mentality of the offensive line, quote, Clint, this is a quote, is drastically changing. So you can't tell me that it wasn't a big deal, or, hey, they were just, you know, kind of to your point about getting rid of Laramie Tunsil just for salary reasons. I think that had a little bit to do with it, but I think it was primarily the overall goal. Laramie Tunsil aside, I think the overall goal was to change the overall mindset and mentality of that unit, and Laramie was a big part of that. So to me, you listen to that. When he says drastically changing, Clint, he's telling you all that you need to know about how they felt about what they were getting from the offensive line last year. I think from both, honestly, a talent standpoint, you know, from guard to guard, with Kenyon Green not really working out and Shaq Mason having seen his better days, a turnstile of sorts at center, I don't think they necessarily had the right guys. But then overall, and this is not specific to those guys, but overall as a unit from coaching all the way down, they didn't have the togetherness. They didn't have the unity. They didn't have the belief. And it's a real difficult thing to perform at a certain level if you're not together, to your point, but also if you don't believe. Like, how are we going to come in here and do this show if we don't believe in what we're talking about? Yeah. If we don't believe in the guy across from us and feel like, oh, I got to do everything. I don't believe Clint really got it. I don't believe B. Scott really got it. It's the fact that we believe in each other and we care about what we're doing that actually makes the show work, right? Yep. It's a similar thing to this situation. So when I hear drastically changing, that makes me think about last year and how not so good it actually was.
That is a great point, B. Scott, of just like, you know, I hear him talking about this group and I get excited about this group, but the reality of it is he's telling you what last year's group wasn't, right? You know what I mean?
Yes.
That is spot on. There's no question about it. And by the way, I know a lot of people out there with my opinions of Laramie getting out of the Laramie Tunsil business. All that. Look, it's not a knock on Laramie Tunsil. I don't think anybody ever thought that Laramie Tunsil was legitimately a C on. Hell, Laramie Tunsil himself was trying to convince everybody that he wanted to be a mentor and a leader last offseason. It ain't like Laramie Tunsil is a tailor-made captain on a leader on a football team. That's just who Laramie is. And if you need your offense, if you've got a young up-and-coming offensive line coach and you need him to put his foot down in that room, and you got a bunch of offensive linemen that you need them to gel, and in order to do so, you need them to be more accountable, you need them to be present, you need them to buy in, then obviously Laramie Tunsil and an aging offensive line coach that maybe just coaching are not the guys to make that happen.
Yeah.
So it's not rocket science. It's not super, it's not negative. It's the reality of it is. This is not the place for Laramie Tunsil anymore, and I think they'll end up benefiting from it. Sounds like, according to D'Amico Ryans, with that Texans talking right there, It sounds like he likes what he sees so far in OTAs from the offensive line. So, all right, we got 5 o'clock fire coming up next. We got breaking news in the NFL. It has happened, folks. It has finally happened. And I'll tell you what that is next.